Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
Class, so you've been managing and in this industry and in these kind of facilities for many years, is that right?
Yes, yeah. about seven years, just shy of ten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you've had different functions in different locations?
Or? I have.
Uh-huh.
I have.
So what are those?
Well, this is the first opportunity that I have been working as a memory care director. I've always supported activities in all of the positions I've had in the past 7 years, usually doing a story time, some exercise, coordinating with other life enrichment activities, joy rides and whatnot. But some of the other jobs I've had is I've been a medical administrative specialist. So really worked out of though it was an RCFE office, it was really worked like a medical office. We had a medical director, so we had examining rooms. So I was really working like a medical assistant in a lot of ways. In an RCFE. That was a very interesting opportunity. A lot of administrative. Prior to that, I worked as an assistant to an assisted living director. We had about 90 assisted living residents. No official memory care. But of course, we're seeing more and more of assisted living with memory care issues. So there was a lot there. But we did not have a delayed egress. So a lot of administrative support roles, in my experience.
Great. So we were here doing the exercise practice and regimen here, and so breathing was an important, we started out breathing. So why is it that we practice some breathing?
Oxygenation. It's a nice, gentle way to get back in touch with the body. We've been eating breakfast, sort of focusing on other things, maybe using the restroom. And I think breathing reminds us that you are oxygenating the whole body. And it gives me a chance to just see if everyone is present.
It's a wake-up moment. I love that, where you had people focus on their feet and breathing up through the entire body and out through the head. And then back out of the body and counting out. That's that particular pace is very, very helpful for the body.
Yes.
And for the nervous system, getting full breath in and all the oxygenation in the brain, in the whole body is so important. So I love that you start out the breathing and then reminding people.
To keep breathing
because we do forget to breathe. I mean, we are naturally breathing, but we forget to take that nice deep breath, which helps to balance the nervous system out. So that was great. And then the different exercises you were choosing. We did hand exercises where we were with the wrist and going around in circles both directions. And we did pointing with the prayer going both directions and hands overhead, opposite sides, and crossing the legs and crossing the arms. So besides a general exercise purpose, just to move all the different parts of the body, why do you select those particular ones where we cross over and move?
Thanks for noticing. I'm trying to trigger that right side, left side, so we can get so stuck and frozen on just one side of our bodies, where we're going to, predominantly if we're right-sided, we're going to choose the right hand in all that we do. And I think as we age and we lose more access to the bilateral parts of our body, we're going to be even more right-sided or left-sided. So I'm trying to encourage a body memory that, that left leg can come over the right leg. Imagine that. And I see the smiles, just even with just the most gentle of exercise. There's something about crossing over. I guess it has to do with the walk. You know, you're going opposite. Hand is going opposite with the opposite leg. And so I'm trying to reinstill that, because a lot of my residents are not walking.
Exactly. Yeah, it was reminding me, everyone doing the exercises together and crossing their legs. It reminded me of the workouts that like professional football players have to do all the time, and the other professional athletes, like you are all like super athletes today because of the different exercises that you were doing.
Yeah.
And to be able to move well, to be alert, to be able to keep balance. Those exercises are very important, the crossover there. So, and because as people get older, sometimes balance issues occur. People can fall down, break hips and all. This is a great combination. I just love that combination. I thought it was really, really, really great. Our nervous system also uses sight and sound. We have all these different kinds of sensory inputs, taste. And so when we're doing that, the surprise, and then the kissing of the lips, that's working also special nerves in the brain itself, the different cranial nerves, and actually sounding out at the same time. It's really amazing. There's you probably know about, there's in the brainstem, we have different nerves that come out, the cranial nerves. And ones are for like the optic nerve to see. We have hearing, acoustic nerve. And we have the nerve that works with the tongue. But also there's one, the vagus nerve, which is the 10th cervical nerve, which balances the autonomic nervous system. And stress responses can occur when, if we keep being under stress, then there's an imbalance in that. So the vagus nerve, we can actually test and see how healthy it is if there's a right-left imbalance by having people stick their tongue out and go, really loud. And so it's very interesting that you're doing this sound because it helps to coordinate that whole function and engages the vagus nerve and the other nerves in that, both the voice as well as the tongue and the in the back, the uvula, which raises up in the back when we're making that sound. So it's very interesting that you're selecting those particular ones too. Is this like a routine that you do all the time?
Or? It is my routine on Monday and Tuesdays. I love the fun aspect. I know we're subtly working with our nervous system, but it's fun. And so everyone starts off a little embarrassed, but before you know it, I don't think I saw a single tongue not come out. When we first started, they were a little shy. It's like, oh no, the tongues are coming out now. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's depending on the culture. Some cultures, sticking your tongue out is impolite, right? And in others, though, there are native cultures where they actually greet each other by sticking their tongues out. I think I saw that on a movie. I don't think it was a fake movie.
Okay.
But they actually look like that, and everyone sticks their tongue out, and it's a greeting. So I think it's a very good thing to do, stick the tongue out also. Mm-hmm. And in Chinese medicine, when we're doing evaluation of someone's health, we have them stick their tongue out because the tongue reflects a lot of different things going on internally too.
Yes, yes.
So let's see. So we have these activities that you're doing on Monday and Tuesday mornings.
Yes.
And so there are other things that you use to help people support where they're at and to improve memory and to maintain it. So there's the physical exercises we were doing, and also mental exercises that people do, or is that part of it?
Yes. Much of our program is not too dissimilar from other programs. A little trivia, current events, discussion, but what I'm trying to foster here, and you saw at the end of exercise, is reaching out to one another. That we're all, you know, these folks spend all day long with one another and into the evening, and we forget to touch one another. There's a lot of touching that happens where staff or myself will be touching residents, but the residents themselves are not touching one another. So it's good to remember that we are neighbors, we are a community. And I'm hoping to keep working with that concept of continuing to reach out to the larger part of this community, mm-hmm. the independent, the assisted living, even our own staff. I see a lot of love that my residents will share with staff. That sort of comes naturally because our staff is offering so much intimately to assist all of you. But if that could keep rippling out, and that's where I'm trying to design some of my activities on Monday, Tuesdays, community, little pieces become a larger whole. Yeah. So where we're doing some trivia, I like to carry it on with forward into other aspects of our lives, not just trivia for trivia's sake. So it can change in a minute's notice what you might have an idea for. A good example is we were doing a trivia last week about basic musical instruments. And Kathy ran it for me. And the residents are very, very sharp about what they feel a basic musical instrument is. And trivia games can only be so talented. And so some of the musical instruments that residents were offering up was not in the game. And I came up and there was mutiny. Because what was being stated wasn't in the trivia game. So there's a clever way of working with these tools that we have and making it pertinent to the actual moment that you're using them. Mm-hmm. So then you just come back to community. Okay, we're all still friends here. I know you disagree with that, but we are. We've got to work it out somehow.
Yeah, the handshake going around and greeting the person as we went around one direction, then going back around the opposite direction. It's just beautiful. It's really touched my heart, too. It's so important. When I talk to neurologists and other individuals about how well our brain works and keeping it active, social activity is so key to keeping our brain alive and keeping things working well. And so this activity that was just like wonderful because it's not only speaking to the other person and connecting in that way, but actually a physical sensory contact that's going on. So I was going, wow, this is great. I want to.
Powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. And making that heart-to-heart connection is so key.
Yes.
And I think that's what we were talking about, or you mentioned before, is that there's a sense in the general community that certain areas, people just aren't part of their community anymore. They're so isolated. And having events like around the lake, around Lake Merritt that happened this weekend. There was also Solano Stroll up in Berkeley. And having these big, large community events actually helps people connect better. And it's also much better for each person's health to have those positive connections.
I agree. I'm hoping that we can have more of our own happy hour or celebration where we're inviting the community up to visit us. We do have a beautiful garden that some will come to visit, but just even in this environment, it would be nice to have assisted living, independent living, come and hear the interview, come and just, if you're not hanging out with your community, then you can develop judgment, fear, continue the isolation. It kind of feeds on itself is what I'm seeing. And that said, you can't force people to be a part of something that makes them feel uncomfortable, but chances are, if you hang out quiet enough and you really come to it with love, this is a no-brainer. It's not like, you know, the beautiful thing for me, and I think my staff, is that the residents, they're not my parents. So all the grief and the sorrow and the fear is eliminated. My staff and myself can come to this opportunity with true love and patience and tenderness. All the other stuff we don't have to fight with. So we're a wonderful bridge for families, I think. What a blessing for all of you to be able to participate in a community where you don't have to worry about how you look to your family, what they might be thinking, and they in turn worrying about you. You can be in the moment with all of us. And I think it's just a very special, overlooked part of the love that gets presented here or utilized.
Yeah, so certainly that emphasis that you've described, and I feel in this group and the smiling and the reaction, that all the positive love here is just so basic and so wonderful. And so I want to commend you on really emphasizing that aspect that often gets overlooked, and yet it's there in day-to-day interactions that people have and the staff have with people. But just recognizing that and amplifying it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And that's where I'm looking when I watch staff interact. Families definitely interaction, but even more importantly, my staff, because my staff is trying to get a task done in a timely fashion. And so where can that value of love and tenderness and compassion get the job done, but I can learn a new aspect of residence. Each task we do, exercise, the hands, sitting here now, putting you all asleep, I learn just that much more each and every day about who my residents are.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You have 17 here in the memory care section, and each and every person knows everyone else's name. At least staff knows everyone's name.
Yes.
And that is so key. And it's also remembering names is very important because it stimulates all these different parts of the brain. And it's one of the first things that people, when their memory starts to decline, they start forgetting people's names or names of their pets, etc. So keeping that alive is very important for the staff as well, for their health also. Mm-hmm.
Calling out.
Yeah.
But what is interesting is knowing one's own name seems to stay a long, long time. You know, as represented by the hands and the names that I could get. The residents knew their name. If they could write their name, they know their name. It's fascinating to me.
It is, yeah. Well, it's probably one of the first words that we learn.
Right,
and it's repeated over and over and over, so it's really drilled very deeply into our psychology.
Yeah.
And so actually recognizing people by their name is very, very, very important. It is an expression of love.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Some people will think, saying honey, sweetie is an expression, but we try and steer away from that kind of language because you're not really, you're not showing that good dignity in the individual you're speaking to. Mm-hmm. And it's a very easy habit to get into. I catch myself as well. I will refer to some residents as maybe boss, or if there's a resident who's a doctor, refer in that way.
Absolutely.
I'm sort of trying to trigger old professions.
That's exactly right, yeah. And would you say that's fairly common in the memory care industry, use of names and all, or is that something more unique here?
That's a good question. I've always been used to the use of names, and maybe I bring that here. When I first got here in April, there was a little bit colloquialisms going on, and not really referring to our residents as I'm a Southern girl. It's Mister. It's Mrs.
Right. Uh-huh.
Even when scolded, I still struggle to use first name.
That makes sense.
It's
yeah,
it's a tough one for me. It really is. And usually with a last name, you can gather attention as well.
Very good. So are there any other things that you'd like to just mention? The book that I'm doing is the publisher asked me to do these interviews to make sure that it's very practical also. So any other kinds of things that we haven't discussed already that you think I should put in the book that would create some added practicality for people, enhancing their brain, preserving their brain?
I think as we're living as younger people, we'll give it lip service, but we forget how valuable memories are. Mm-hmm. And so we don't, I get kidded in my own house. I have little altars, if you will, around in my space because they're actually museums of memories that I've collected. Mm. And I don't think we give enough value to that as a Western culture. I think other cultures do have a shrine in the house, have daily areas that might be shrine or museum related. In America, things are very clean, clean tabletops, everything color-coded, it's well-ordered. But in that pristineness, you lose the beautiful, messy memories, which can help all of us understand how to stay in touch. It's through memories. And love and sharing those memories keep that still very permanent and accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are individuals who have who videotape stories from people as they get older and then replaying those to those individuals later when their memory becomes more weak actually seems to stimulate a lot of memories and improve memory, at least for a little while.
Yeah.
And so what you're talking about is brilliant, I think, having those kind of books or photographic memories, books or even videos or whatever. So you remind yourself of these things and it ingrains itself more deeply. And also with this emotion, because they find that memories locked in with emotion strong emotion are the ones that really stick the most. And perhaps that's why weddings, there's so much gaiety and all this fun that's going on, because it locks that memory in and then makes the relationship stronger when things might start to fall apart or have a little more difficulty.
Yeah.
So your enthusiasm here with the group definitely creates that positive emotion that then helps to lock the memory in of doing these exercises. So people probably throughout the day will think to do them more.
Yeah, especially if I remember. And I will say, you know, I just started September doing exercise. And I will say everyone's wrist flexibility, because what I'm trying to do is get them ready for chair volleyball. We're going to use a balloon and we go over a net. So I have a method to my madness here. Yeah. Loosening up the wrists, getting being able to cross over your body, reach.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting a lot better and a lot more willing to participate.
Very good.
So
this has been really, really fun for me and very educational. I appreciate it so much.
My pleasure.
Being invited in.
My pleasure.
So
does anyone have any questions for the doctor? Isabel, do you have any questions? How about you, Helen? Do you have any questions for the doctor? No?
Do you have any answers for me?
How to fix that shoulder? Yeah. I don't know if this generation would go for needles, but I would love to be able to offer more homeopathy options, more movement, more balance. How do I reach residents who could move well but can't hear?
Right.
Just because someone's dozing off, does that mean they're not taking in what we're talking about? I think auditorily, you are taking it in.
That's right. That's right. It's like hypnotherapy puts people in a certain zone, an alpha wave dominant zone, which is halfway between being awake and asleep, and yet it's working with the subconscious mind. And in my practice, while people have needles in, I often have a hypnotherapy tape going as well. And so there's various suggestions that are going on, and people wake up because the person says, okay, wide awake, and they wake up. So obviously they weren't totally asleep.
Right.
And yet it seems like they didn't hear anything. So this is perhaps what we're talking about here. It's just not quite in the sleep range, but more in the meditation, daydream kind of arena.
And still participating.
Yeah.
How about you, Naomi? Do you have a question for the doctor?
No.
No?
I bet Kathy does.
Oh, I do. Will you work with people with dementia?
I work with some people with dementia, yes. And their acupuncture, neurologic relief center technique, which works with the meninges. The meninges surround the brain, the spinal cord, and they regulate the amount of blood and oxygen that gets to the brain also. So sometimes if that's open, then we can get some really positive changes. Yeah. Other questions? Doctor, you have any? Or?
Mary Ellen, do you have a question? No questions? How about you, Dick?
Nope.
No questions? Nope. You sure?
Any answers, any comments, any suggestions?
We're just been checking it in.
All right, very good.
So what's your name?
What's
your name?
Dr. J. Sordian.
Sordian.
Like accordion.
Sawyer?
Sordian. Like accordion. S-O-R-D-E-A-N.
Let me spell it for you here on my dry board.
Okay.
It looks like Sordine.
Yeah.
And I've been called soybean, sardine can.
Uh-oh, no.
I mean, you know, when you're little, people, they do things just like, you know, they call, instead of Dyer, they call you Dwyer and stuff.
So, well, worse than that.
Yeah. But so as I've heard everything, so I came up with accordion as a way for people to remember.
Yeah.
It's like that. But.
And I met Dr. J at an in-service in another community. In Rockridge, and he approached me, wanted to know if he could come visit us, and he stuck with it, and here he is.
Okay, Sordian. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sordian.
Sordian.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's Romanian.
Sordian.
It's a Romanian name.
Oh.
N.
E-A-N.
Yes.
Sordian.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So he's videotaping this so that I guess you get the quotes right on the
yes,
other end.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And then I'll provide it to you if you like, and we'll give you a copy. And then you could play it here, too.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the boss. Look at those circles under her eyes. She was up all night doing hands.
Right.
Wow.
Any other questions for me?
No, I think that covers everything.
All right.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. This is wonderful.
I think memories and love. That's the big deal.
Yes. Exactly. Memories and love.
Good.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
All right. Thank you all.
Very nice.
So will you put this in your book?
I'm going to be including some quotes from this and making it very practical. So, and only the two of us were in the picture.
Okay.
This was narrowed down, so only us are in. Only the two of us are in the picture.
Okay. Do you know when your book will be put out?
The plan is that it will be out at the end of November.
November 25th.
Superbrain.
End of November of this year.
Of this year, yeah.
I will look for it.
All right, very good.
Well, we'll see. Maybe I can get some copies. And
exactly. We'll
we
be sure that
sale.
You get a copy.
Yeah,
yeah.
That'd be great.
So you do it from Barnes, go get it to Barnes & Noble too? I could get it at Barnes & Noble.
I hope so.
So, I think what I've got to do is blow up some balloons.
This is for your balloon
to volleyball.
Chair volleyball.
Chair volleyball.
But, let's see if we can trigger some memories here.
All right.
If you're interested in finding out more about how you or your relatives can avoid dementia, buy the book, Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, 7 Key Memory Care Actions to Avoid Alzheimer's and Successfully Keep Your Brain Safe, Sharp, and Sexy into the Future, by going to OutsmartingDementia.com. That's OutsmartingDementia.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to get an appointment with Dr. Sordian, please call the Redwood Clinic at 510-849-1176. And for information, go to theredwoodclinic.com. Thank you.